It's a serious thing just to be alive on this fresh morning in this broken world, writes poet Mary Oliver. A serious thing just to be alive on this fresh morning in this broken world. Indeed it is. Reverend Ashley Horan of the Side with Love campaign addressed her friends and the larger UU sphere this week with her practices for solidarity and survival. Here is her preface. Loves, she addresses us, which I kind of love. Loves, we are all doing our best as we navigate the deluge that is this moment. We know that the overwhelm and the chaos and the speed of it all are strategies in and of themselves, but it's still hard not to get in a constant loop of tuning out, melting down, or spiraling out. I am really clear that if I want to be of use in this moment to all of the people and the lineages and communities to whom I am accountable, I'm going to need to deploy every single skill I've gained over the course of my life and learn a whole bunch more. So I've been thinking about what commitments I want to make to myself and to my communities to bring the best of myself to this moment. So let's us just take a moment to open ourselves to that question. What commitments do we want to make to ourselves and to our communities to bring the best of ourselves to this moment? Ashley Horan then goes on to share her practices of solidarity and survival that make sense for her in her particular life from her location and roles within her communities, embodying her constellation of identities and relationships. Mine, yours, may look different. And she made a plea, please don't hear me saying you need to commit to the same postures and practices as I do. Please do hear me saying that I think it matters that all of us spend time thinking and discerning and praying on who and how we are each specifically and in our unique bodies called to show up right now. And I think that too. She shared her practices publicly as a way of inviting feedback and accountability on how she's doing with these things. Because often if we don't articulate the specific ways we want to navigate these wild times, we will lose ourselves. Then she said something that I loved, showing herself and everyone else grace. She said, I'm sharing because I'm not yet fully embodying any of these practices, but I want to be. Because it matters that we try, to bring our best selves at the exact same time as we give ourselves grace for the ways we fall short of those aspirations. I'm sharing because I want to learn from you too. I saw a video yesterday of a therapist that I follow on Instagram. And she was a guest speaker at a class at Duke University, and she was talking about resilience. She drew this on the board. She drew this up and down line on the board, and she said that this was the learning space, this up and down as we go. And she said, the feeling in the learning space is frustration and that it can be really uncomfortable. And so if you know that if you're frustrated, that you're in a learning space. And then she said, the longer that we can stay with those feelings of discomfort and frustration, the longer we can stay there, the longer we can stay in the learning space, then the more resilience we build. So I've been thinking about that, especially the last few days. And I wonder how we'll do with that over the next few weeks and months and years. I imagine that most of us are feeling some kind of way like that, maybe. So Here are the practices of Ashley Horan, if they're helpful to you in borrowing these or creating your own. Okay, Pete. One, I will curb my impulse to critique and cultivate my power to create. Rather than saying, why isn't XYZ person or group or organization doing something, anything, what I think they should be doing, I will ask, how can I meaningfully contribute to strategies and responses that align with my values and best assessment of what's needed right now? Rather than shooting ideas down, I will seek out wisdom and skills in communities that inspire me to build and sustain life-saving, life-giving things. In the face of massive disregard for and destruction of life, beauty, resources, I will spend time each day making something. Art, food, poetry, music, imaginative play. I'm going to guess you're doing a lot of knitting. I will consume content with attention and intention. Are you knitting right now, Hannah? That's great. I will consume content with attention and intention. I will not willingly acquiesce to the strategy of overwhelm, saturation, and chaos. So I just invite you to see how that feels in your body when you hear it. This doesn't have to be your practice, but think about how you think about, just see how it resonates with you when you hear it. I will protect my mind, my body, and my spirit by changing my notification settings, limiting my time on social media, not reading email or doom scrolling when I should be present to something else. When I should be present to something else. I will seek out sources that share information that is true, verifiable, and necessary. And I will access those sources during specific times when I can intentionally absorb and begin to metabolize all the reactions and emotions that inevitably arise within me. How kind to ourselves that is, really. I notice I follow Rebecca Solnit, who I find to be pretty solid. But even she has posted some things that she's then apologized for and said, that was wrong, y'all, sorry for the misinformation. And I think that's a great modeling for any of us. But to always, you know, to those sources that are true, right? But we can all get caught up in it. I will not ignore or numb myself to the realities of what is happening, nor will I allow myself to become a sponge trying to soak up the impossibly high volume coming from the fire hose of headlines, hot takes, and clickbait. Let's just breathe that in together for a moment. Number three, I will nurture spiritual practices that connect me with my people, past, present, and future. I am learning how to reconnect with my ancestral lineages that existed before my people experienced, sometimes as recipients of, sometimes as perpetrators, of the ruptures and trauma inherent in colonization and forced displacement from ancestral lands. I will keep relearning how to be in my body, even when it feels dangerous. I will spend time every day holding in prayer the names and faces of people I love and admire and wish well. I will make space for reading poetry and listening to music that reminds me of who and whose I am. I will pay attention to the health and well-being of my children, our children, my plants, my relationships. For many of you in here, I'm guessing my pets would fit in there. I will get better at asking for and accepting help. I will worship with a community of people who share my values. I will talk to my children about the present and regularly spend time imagining aloud a future in which they and their children and their children's children are well and free and thriving. 4, I will gut check things with people whose lived experience, analysis, and relationships I trust. When I'm discerning my own capacity for risk or action, I will be in conversation with people who can support me in making decisions that are grounded, accountable, and courageous. I will ensure that I am participating in strategies, actions, and activities organized and led by trusted colleagues, comrades, and organizations. And I will make sure that planning includes realistic risk assessment, consent structures, security protocols, and support plans for supporting people in the wake of taking action. If something feels off, I will check in with folks I trust about whether my unease is rooted in legitimate concern or unreasonable fear or discomfort. It is easy to fall into fear and to not want to take action. And some of us have things that have bodies and other people that we need to keep safe. We're all free to make our own choices. When I feel off kilter in my own spirit, I will ask those who know and love me to help me name what's happening for me. And 5, I will own and leverage any expertise, privilege, and power I have to stop harm and nurture liberatory possibilities. I will not disingenuously try to make myself smaller or pretend I am powerless. I will cultivate self-awareness and wield both power and privilege honestly and with integrity. 6, I will recognize where I lack experience, analysis, or skill, and seek to follow and uplift the leadership of others. I will stay in my lane and cheer others on in theirs. I will lean into trust and be grateful for that others are leading in places I cannot. I will seek to learn and grow and recognize when my learning needs to take a back seat, so that others can act quickly and capably. 7, I will de-escalate all conflict that isn't with the enemy. And this is Margaret Kiljoy, who's written a beautiful piece on this. That isn't with the enemy. So there's a lot to be said in here about how we do church, right? To be continued later. I will remember that they want us to fight among each other, to distrust one another, to forget that our liberation is bound up together and our power lies in our numbers. I will make an effort to deepen relationships, widen my circles, find common cause through collaboration. I will engage in rigorous debate and disagreement with love and respect, and with an intention to learn and resolve rather than a need to win. I will grow my tolerance for working with people I don't like and who don't like me. I will check the impulse towards self-righteousness, avoid being pre-offended, and offer both apologies and forgiveness quickly. You know, right, that they say that a minister preaches what they need to hear and allow others to listen. You get that, right? Okay. 8, I will protect and cultivate my own hope that we can win. I will not do their work for them. I will believe in us, love us, invest in us. I will treat cynicism like a virus to be eradicated within my spirit. I will connect with an arc of time that is so much longer than my own small life. I will remember, as Miriam Kaba reminds us, Hope is a discipline. I will practice allowing my heart to really imagine that wholeness and thriving and healing could feel like for myself and my community, what it could feel like for myself and my communities and the world. And I will not let my fear of disappointment and heartbreak take that in. I will not let my fear of disappointment and heartbreak stop me from hoping for everything that we could do and build and become. 9, I will celebrate victories even in the presence of despair. I will heap praise on everyone around me for showing up, keeping on, holding it down. I will shout about any evidence that we're doing the right things and that change is possible. I will banish perfectionism. I will banish perfectionism and recognize how miraculous even tiny victories can be. I will claim the win and relish the accomplishment, even when it feels like I should be grieving or raging about the enormity of pain in the world. I will take the time to linger with the sweetness for a while before asking what's next. I will remember that my body deserves gentleness and care. That's 10. I will not neglect my basic bodily needs for nourishment, pleasure, movement, and rest. I will be patient with my body and listen to what it's telling me. I will remember my body is a site of ancestral wisdom. I will practice skills to de-escalate my nervous system and trauma responses when I am activated. I will access the forms of care for my body that are accessible to me. I will ask for the accommodations I need. And 11, I will strengthen the musculature of my moral imagination. I will learn from those who dream universes and realities that feel audaciously impossible. I will ask what we would build if we had all the resources and capacity we needed, rather than what we should settle for given the current conditions. I will seek out teachers, mentors, friends, colleagues, and co-conspirators who know in their bones that another world is possible. How would you articulate your own practices for solidarity and survival right now? What are you working on in yourself so you can be in relationship with others? I offer these practices as a starting point for your own. An email will be arriving in your inboxes, if you're on our announcements list, at 11:15 this morning with a Substack link to to Ashley's post so that you can read these and ponder these for yourself and make your own decisions. I need you to survive. I need us all to survive. We are all part of each other and connected in mystery and miracle to a love that holds us all. I close with these words by Diane Ackerman titled School Prayer. In the name of the daybreak and the eyelids of the morning and the wayfaring moon and the night when it departs, I swear I will not dishonor my soul with hatred, but offer myself humbly as a guardian of nature, as a healing of misery, as a messenger of wonder, as an architect of peace. In the name of the sun and its mirrors and the day that embraces it and the cloud veils drawn over it and the uttermost night and the male and the female and the non-binary and the plants bursting with seed and the crowning seasons of the firefly and the apple, I will honor all life, wherever and in whatever form it may dwell, on earth my home, and in the mansions of the stars. May we do that.